Okay, good morning. Welcome to the Armenian Evangelical Church online. You'll notice our pastor is not here, but that's okay. We are still the church. Our pastor Haig and pastor's wife Nancy Kherlopian are on leave for a couple months as they prepare to be first-time parents. Myself and a few other church members will be hosting the service for these couple months, and we'll be having guest preachers each week, which is very exciting. A lot of members from the community, which is great. This is what church is, not relying on one person who is the pastor, but kind of using our gifts to share and to be one body. So that said, let's pray and get started. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this new month. Lord, we thank you for this community and this church that are able to gather online in spite of all the things that are going on in the world today. Lord, we pray for you to guide us in this service, this worship towards you, and we welcome you here. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today, our guest preacher is Mr. Bruce Momjan, who should not be a stranger to any of us, as he's been participating in this online church service since we began. So I will pass it to him to lead us in the message that he has prepared for us today. So I'm just going to make him the spotlight.
Well, welcome everybody. It's exciting to be here and a chance to speak to you today. This is a wonderful Sunday morning, beautiful here in Philadelphia. Obviously, I've been seeing you all for weeks now, and now I get to give a little message for you. And I hope it's a blessing to you. I certainly a blessing to me to create it. And again, it's an honor to be able to address you today. The title of my sermon today is called Label Maker, which sounds really odd, but effectively, we're going to start the sermon with a show and tell, and that's really odd. You don't see that a lot. It's kind of hokey, but hey, I'm a hokey guy. So this is a label maker. It's actually like a little thing, and you type in the message you want, and you hit a button. You hit a button here, and out comes like a little piece of sticky stuff, and you cut it, and I think it says laundry on it. You might be able to see that, actually. See? And you stick it on something, right? And I've had this for probably 12 years or so, and I was really excited to get it because obviously running a household, there's a bunch of things that need labels. You know, I have a bunch of laptops. They all kind of look the same. If I don't have a label on it, I don't know which laptop is it. Is it my laptop? Is it my wife's laptop? Is it the one for the laundry room or the kitchen? I have a pool that has a bunch of pipes. I don't know which pipe goes where. And by labeling the pipes, I kind of know, oh, that one goes to this part of the pool. That one goes to that part of the pool. I'm an engineer, software engineer. Sometimes I have to do wiring. Labeling the wires, incredibly useful. So what I want to kind of start out talking about is the idea of labels. Labels are something that we use every day in our normal lives. We label things all the time and you don't even think about it. We're going to go through a lot of examples in the Bible of labels. But in real life, we use labels a lot. And typically we use labels to distinguish something from something else, particularly if they both look the same, like my pipes or my laptops. Having a label on it that identifies what it is. It doesn't change the item. Like if I have a pipe and I put a label on it that says Moscow, that pipe doesn't go to Moscow. It just means I put a label on it, right? I don't change the nature of the thing by putting a label on it. It's merely there for me to reference it. So my point is that when you put labels on things, you put them on inanimate objects to help you identify something for reference. So you know what its purpose is, you know maybe where it came from, you know kind of what you're supposed to do with it, okay? But there's another type of label that we deal with all the time, and that is the label we place on people. And that's a much more serious issue than putting a label on a laptop or a wire, okay? Because the laptop or wire doesn't really care what label it's on it. You're kind of going to deal with it. It's an inanimate object. But when you put labels on people, you're effectively placing a shell over the person. And you think, well, that's how I'm going to relate to that person because that person has that label. And there's a huge number of examples in the Bible I'm going to go over where labeling people is not always or usually a good thing. And we're going to talk about why that is and maybe some of the things we can learn from that. So what are the typical labels that we put on people? And what are the typical labels that we put on ourselves? Okay. So, for example, I have a name, right? That's my label. It's kind of innocuous. You can tell a little bit about me. You can guess my gender. You can guess I'm Armenian. But, you know, yeah, there's not a whole lot you can read from that. But you could have a label that I'm from the Philadelphia area or from Pennsylvania. That's a label. I'm a U.S. citizen. That's a label. I'm Armenian. That's a label. If you root for certain sports teams, right, and you've probably been in meetings like this, oh, that person's a Jets fan, that person's a Giants fan, right, or whatever. And all of a sudden, the labels mean a lot, right? The people are the same, but the shell, the label we put around them makes us treat us them differently. People have ethnic labels, like, you know, people say, I'm gay, well, or I'm black, or, right, I'm Armenian, right? And those are labels that they put, and sometimes those labels either identify for other people or they self-identify as more important than the person themselves. So are you a person first or are you an Armenian first, right? Are you a Christian first or are you Armenian first or are you a person first, right? And there's all this hierarchy of labels that we start to get into. And it becomes, sometimes the label can take on too much importance, either to ourselves or as we label other people. There are other labels that are equally important. The job that you do, that's a label, okay? You're still a person, but you're a software engineer or you're a homemaker or you work in marketing, okay? The education, I graduated from this college. I have a master's degree. These are labels that we place on ourselves, we place on others. Political party affiliation, there's a lot of that going on now. Right? That person's a Republican, that person's a Democrat, that person supports person X, that person thinks person X is terrible, right? And you filter how you interact with those people through those labels. The label didn't change the person, but that's how you process the person. Some of them are more serious. For example, if someone is a criminal or a former criminal, an ex-convict, that's a label that we place on the person. It might be factual, but is that the first thing we're going to think of when we interact with that person? Okay. If someone is a Nazi or was part of the Nazi party, right? That's a label you see thrown around a lot in discussions online. You know, does that define the person? It means I don't have to deal with that person anymore. Or that person supports some political thing I don't like. That means I don't have to deal with that person anymore. Is that what does the label take on so much importance that we actually dehumanize the person in a lot of cases? And I think that happens quite a bit. Even something like innocuous as your own family is a label. It's the way you identify yourself a lot of times. And sometimes that's good. And sometimes maybe that's not good. For example, you know, if you're talking to somebody and their father is a mafia figure, is that person somebody you want to talk to, not talk to, right? They may have nothing to do with their parents, but you're associating with their family. So labels basically help people to identify themselves, And they're also labels we place on other people. And let's look at some of the examples in the Bible of where labels are specifically used. Probably the biggest one that I could think of, particularly from the Old Testament, and this is a label that's still used today, is the symbol that the Hebrews put on their doorposts in Egypt. So just to catch up on the story, Exodus 12:23, the plague is going to come through Egypt and kill the firstborn of every family. And the Jews are told to put blood of a lamb on their lintel post, on their doorpost, to tell the angel of the Lord to pass over that household. Okay. Specifically, the Bible says the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your house to strike you. Okay. Jews today still have a symbol, a label, a lot of observant Jews on their doorposts, which indicates that they're Jewish. And it goes back to this labeling practice from obviously their time in Egypt. There are a lot of labels in the Old Testament, and I could go through tons of them, but that's the one that kind of struck me. But when we get to the New Testament, things get a little different. And it really starts with the appearance of Jesus, who doesn't come really the way everyone thinks he's going to come, the way the Messiah, they everyone thought he was going to come. John 1:43 says, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him who Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So the guy is saying, "We found the Messiah. You got to come see this person." And Nathan says to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" So you're basically, the guy is saying, "Here's the Messiah." And the first person the person jumps to is the city he's from and say, "No, this can't be right. This label doesn't match," right? There's another really good one later on where the tax collector and the Pharisee are in the temple. And the Pharisee is standing by himself and praying, "God, I thank you. I am not like the other man, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even like this tax collector." So, and you know how the story goes. The tax collector says, "Have mercy on me, I'm a sinner," right? So again, another case where somebody's saying this label either doesn't match or it makes me better than this other person. And therefore I don't have to worry about that person. I don't have to care about that person. I'm not like that person. And so that's sort of stories about from the Gospels. And Jesus, of course, has a really different approach that I think throws a lot of people off because he spends time with tax collectors and sinners and prostitutes, which is not the normal thing that a priest or the Messiah you think is going to do. But what happens effectively in my mind is that he takes a lot of the labels that we put on people to say we don't have to deal with those people. And he kind of strips him away. I mean, the classic case, I think, is Zacchaeus, who's, you know, short of stature, sitting in a tree. And for some reason, Jesus knows that. And that's the guy I want to have a meal with. Why? Only Jesus knows, right? But it is not, it kind of throws everyone off because they don't understand why this tax collector in the tree is the guy that Jesus wants to spend time with. Another example you've seen a lot, children coming to Jesus, and the disciples sort of saying, no, he doesn't have time for you. And he's like, "No, this is what I came for." Again, even the New Testament time, a lot more hierarchical than today. But again, you can see the labels in action of who you're supposed to work with, who you're supposed to avoid, who you're supposed to spend time with, who you're supposed to eat with, who you're supposed to hang out with. And Jesus kind of says no. In Matthew 25:43, Jesus is saying, he's basically telling people, "You didn't come to help me." And the people say, "Well, why? I didn't see you." And Jesus says, "I was a stranger and you did not welcome me." naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me. So what he's telling us is that we have to take a lot of the labels that we put on who we're supposed to spend time with, what we're supposed to do, where we're supposed to spend our time. We're supposed to be much more open to how the Holy Spirit tells us we're supposed to spend time. Another great, I think, example for labels is the story of the Good Samaritan, right? That's a very clear case, because you have this wounded person, the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan all walk up to him. The first two keep going, and the Samaritan is the one who stays and takes care of him and makes sure that that person is better. And again, that whole story throws off our entire concept of labels and who's going to be the person who's going to help me, who's going to be the person I can count on. And again, it's sort of that anti-label concept through the Gospels. Now, when you get into Acts, okay, post-resurrection, there's a story of Peter's vision. And of course, the Jews at that time were struggling with reconciling the Old Testament laws to the Messiah and his message. And Peter is trying to understand, should he be ministering? Should he be reaching out to the non-Jews, the Gentiles, as well as to the Jews? And he has a dream where a big blanket comes down with different animals, and he's told to eat, and he says, no, they're not clean. And, you know, Acts 10, 9 to 16 is where the story is, and it kind of ends. He says, should I, you know, I shouldn't eat. And the angel says, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. But by going through this vision, he understands that God is telling him that the label of Jew versus non-Jew is to go away as part of ministry. And that's really hard for them to get, right? So there's a whole bunch of cases where people have to really be hit over the head to say, no, you got to let go of that label, because we're now in an era where things are much more inclusive. Post-resurrection, obviously, Galatians, there's a story. There's a verse that says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, you are all one in Jesus Christ. So again, that inclusive message that we continue seeing mostly in the New Testament. There's some concept of in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, it comes out very clearly. And in fact, that last verse is really the most interesting. I talked earlier about how you self-identify, how you identify what is important and who you are. And the Christian label is the most important label that you carry. That's clearly from the Galatians verse. It's not saying, you know, technically there's still male and female, there's still Jews and Greeks, they still exist. But what it's saying is that you are a child of God. You are, if you're a follower of Christ, that's who you are. And all the other labels that you either carry are really subservient to that. In fact, even more subservient to your own family. Matthew 10, 37, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. That's like, wow, right? You know, we're all children of someone, and many of us have our own children. Some of them are married, some aren't, but we all have family ties and we identify with that. But what that verse is basically saying is now is yes, you have those ties, but your primary loyalty is not to your family. Your primary loyalty is to your relationship with God. Labels, you know, I've talked about labels as sort of innocuous things, or things that, you know, kind of are negative or things we should not think of as. But in fact, we are all labeled as Christians by the world. And, you know, you could argue that the persecution of Armenia, even in the past and currently, is really related to us being labeled as Christians. So the labeling and the identification with Christ is not it's not an innocuous thing. It's actually something that can be dangerous. And it's something we should still embrace, even though it's dangerous, which I know sounds weird, but that's what we're told to do. And I think it's even more, I think, clear today as we sort of look what's happening in Armenia. Christians in, I obviously travel a lot. Christians in other cultures have a lot of affinity for us as Christians here in the United States. I've been to a lot of different countries. I've gotten a chance to visit a bunch of services in different countries. You know, I probably have more in common with some Christians in Brazil or some Christians in Russia than I do from the non-Christian who lives next door to me, right? Because as Christians, we share a super important label, right? An identity that I may not share with my neighbor next door. And again, I think that just gives us a concept of the hierarchy. I mentioned Russia, Archbishop Kirill, who you may have seen in videos of services in Russia, but you know, he's talked about unity between the United States and Russia, and specifically how labels of being I'm from the US, I'm from Russia, interfere with the ability of Christians to see themselves as brothers and sisters in Christ. Again, I think an interesting approach and sort of an idea of how all that all fits together. But you know, I'm not here to say that the actions that maybe generated these labels are completely unimportant. Okay. There's a lot of good reasons that we have to put labels on things. There's a lot of good reasons that we put structure around things. But I think it's important to understand when the label is being useful and when the label is a hindrance to us. Okay. So if we go back to John 8:11, there is the story of the woman caught in adultery. And what Christ is not saying when he talks to her is that committing adultery is acceptable. Doesn't say that. Okay. But the point that I think he makes is that when he's talking to her, she is not committing adultery at that moment. And Jesus is speaking to her saying, neither do I condemn you, go, and from now sin no more. So what he's saying is that there is a tomorrow that doesn't need to include adultery for you, right? A lot of times I think when we put labels on people, we think the label has to stay for their entire lives. And Christ is saying, no, that is not true. If somebody's a tax collector today, they don't need to be a corrupt tax collector tomorrow, okay? If somebody's a criminal today, they don't need to be a lawbreaker tomorrow, right? And there's that whole concept of effectively saying that we can't just cut people off and say, you're on that label, I'm not going to deal with you, and I don't need to deal with you from now until you die, because you're always going to be that way. That is not the way that Christ and God deals with us, and therefore that can't be the way that we deal with others. You know, God has a lot of reasons to just give up on us, and he doesn't. And I think we have to also not give up on others. And I think there's that kind of concept through the gospel. You know, there's an interesting TV show that you might have seen, you know, Dog the Bounty Hunter, which was out a couple of years ago. And it's about a guy, and he's a Christian, but he's catching these criminals and stuff. And he's also an ex-convict. So he understands when he's capturing these people that he was an ex-convict and he isn't anymore. So when he's talking to him after he's arrested him, he's basically trying to say, what can I do to help you? What can you, how did you get into such trouble? And what, it is time for a change for you. And it's really hard if you spend a whole, like 2 days trying to capture somebody to then turn around and want to help them. But that happens over and over again in the show. There's a lot of reasons. There's a lot of labels. You might say that this whole thing is weird and you might be right. But the message of those last seconds in the car as they're taking him to the jail is really kind of mirroring, I think, the adulterous woman case, where you've got Jesus saying, no, I don't do this in the future. I'm not going to condemn you. You have a future. As I said, Christianity is our most meaningful label, but at the same time, we should be ministering to everybody. not just Christians, and no matter what they've done in the past or what labels they carry. Okay. We create labels of who we interact with and who we trust and who we help. But sometimes those labels, and we need those labels. Sometimes, you know, I'm not telling people go and, you know, live with drug dealers tomorrow. I don't think that's a wise thing to do. But there may be a case where you should be interacting with somebody who has a problem with drugs, or somebody has a problem with crime, or probably has a problem with something else. And we shouldn't be putting a label on to say that person's a drug addict, therefore I don't have to have anything to do with them, or that person's a criminal, I don't have to have anything to do with them. I think we need to be open to the Holy Spirit to guide us in who we're supposed to interact with, and who we're supposed to help, because we don't really know. Why did Jesus choose Zacchaeus? We have no idea, but the Holy Spirit or his divinity knew that was the person. And I think in a lot of times we shut down the Holy Spirit in listening because we're putting labels and we're saying, no, that is something I should never have anything to do with, or that is a person I should never have anything to do with, or that is a whole class of labeled people that I should never have anything to do with. The basic message is that who someone is yesterday is not always who they are tomorrow. That hope that we have from Jesus, that hope we have from the resurrection, that God has not given up on us, we should not be giving up on other people. Don't let those labels stop you from following him. That's a very hard message. I always am trying to process it in my own head. But I think it's a message that has a lot of relevance for today. And it's something that I always continually have to think about and continually have to sort of reorient who I am to try and strip away the person from the label and understand what my purpose is in everyday life. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Bruce. Okay, so we're going to move on to announcements. For those of you who didn't catch it in the beginning when we started the service, our pastor and pastor's wife are on leave for a couple months as they prepare to be first-time parents. And we ask that you lift them up in prayer and just encouragement as, you know, Haig has been with this church for 7 years, and this is kind of like, in a sense, a sabbatical as well for him, and a time for him to recharge. So again, we ask that you just lift them up in prayer, and we thank you for joining us. Announcements. So first off, Bible study. Our Bible study will continue each Tuesday at 7:30. Most of you should be on the church emailing list. If you're not on the church emailing list, please sign up. You could sign up at aecnyc.org/email list. I'll type it up in the chat box so you can have it if you are not. Please sign up for our email list if you're not on it. Every Sunday morning, we send the bulletin for the service and all the announcements that I am orating to you right now. So Tuesday night Bible study on Zoom will continue. The first few weeks we'll have Mr. Obed Bazikian leading, and I believe a few will be led by Bruce's wife, Christine Momjohn. Is that right? Or will it be Bruce?
It will be Christine.
It'll be Christine Momjan. So please continue joining. If you haven't joined, we welcome you. Maybe every Tuesday's not a great time, but if you have a Tuesday that you're free, you know, feel free to drop in and invite a friend if you like. Everyone is welcome. The Christ and Coffee podcast will continue to be released each Wednesday. A little secret that Pastor Heige and Pastor Jeremy pre-recorded some episodes that they'll be releasing. So even though Pastor Heige's on vacation or I guess paternity leave, there are still new episodes that will be released. And Zumba also continues with my wife, Tallin, Thursdays at 7:30. Again, the first class is free, by the way. And the rest of the proceeds go completely to the church. So it's, in a sense, a great way to exercise and also support our church. That's Thursdays at 7:30. And every time I say this announcement, I always add that, you know, a lot of us, including myself, are uncomfortable dancing or exercising with other people watching. And with Zoom, it's so great because you don't have to show yourself. So maybe you're a little rusty, whatever, it doesn't matter. You don't have to show your screen, but you can still get your exercise. And so we encourage you to do that. And for those of you who were meeting weekly or whatever the frequency was with your prayer partner, we encourage you to do that. If there's someone else that you'd like to pray with, maybe during the service, you could chat with them privately and exchange contact. So just to find someone else that you'd like to pray with, or maybe you'd like to offer to pray with someone, we do also encourage you to do that. And the last thing I'll mention for announcements, as Bruce mentioned in a sermon, is that Armenia is basically at war with Azerbaijan. And we'll pray for that later. But also, I'd encourage you to find ways to support, either by spreading awareness or by finding a means to donate, just to help those ongoing efforts and the constant struggle that the Armenian people have struggled with. And usually when we're in person, we do an offertory, we pass the basket around. So now that we're not in person, we can't pass the basket around, but there is an easy way to support our church. And our church really needs, the financial support of all of its members. The coronavirus has, really put a damper on the income through rentals that we were receiving, which may resume at some point in the future. But even despite that, even pre-pandemic, really the church is, the church runs through the donations of its members and friends. So we encourage you to continue donating and, you know, as much as you're able to. To donate online, just go to aecnyc.org/donate. I'll type that in the chat box as well. And you could do a one-time donation or you could do a recurring donation. The recurring donations, they really help us project how much we're planning to receive on a month-to-month basis. So we encourage you to do that as well. And now we'll move on to reciting the Confession of Faith, which we do each week in unison together, the Apostles' Creed. Let me start the PowerPoint and we'll recite that together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Can everyone hear me okay? Okay, let's sing the doxology together.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures near below. Praise Him above heavenly host. Praise Father, Son,
Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you, Bruce, for that message. Thank you, Mr. for announcements. Let us worship together as one body, the body of Christ. If you'll turn to your Bibles, if you have them with you, or your phones, or however you read, to Isaiah 64. I'm going to read the first two verses. This is Isaiah 64, 1 through 2. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you. As when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. Amen. So let's sing together. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Let's sing.
Hide thee, though the eye of sinful
Let's remember wherever we are, whatever we're doing, whoever we're with, whether or not we are struggling or prospering, whether people are out to get us, attack us, kill us, whether the enemy is winning or losing, let's remember that God is with us.
Peace, to be loved, to be near to us, and you've come to bring life, to be light, to shine brighter in us, oh Emmanuel, God our deliverer, you're our savior. In your presence we find our strength. Over everything, our redemption, God, with us. You are God, with us.
You
this time, we will take prayer requests. So anybody that has requests, unmute your mics and tell us what you want us to pray for. Claudine is going to pray for everybody and for our community after we get the request. So go ahead. And you can text in your requests or enter them in the chat as well. We'll get them and pray for those requests. I, for one, and I'm sure many others, would like to continue praying for Artsakh. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, our blood brothers and sisters, are out there fighting for land, and they're under attack. It's a nightmare. We need to pray for them. It's only by the grace of God that they are surviving, advancing, protecting themselves. And let's just remember, it's by the grace of God that we are here today.
I also have a prayer request for all our leaders, all our church leaders and government leaders, not only in terms of wisdom on their daily, you know, for their daily responsibilities and having God with them to know what choices, how to lead, but also in moments of crisis, our leaders in our churches and also all of us to give us wisdom to know how to react to these moments of crisis in the way that God wants us to.
Good morning. I have a prayer request. I have a coworker whose uncle is having some severe complications due to COVID. So his name is Autumn, and it's her uncle. So if we can pray for Uncle Autumn this morning. Thank you.
Anybody else? Thank you for the requests. Okay, Claudine.
Okay, so Sean's request to pray over Artsakh and Armenia. I pretty much wanted to say that this is very personal to me specifically because I was born in that region. I am a refugee of that war 33 years ago. And till this day, this war is happening and it's affecting a lot of people. So I know how those people feel because that's what my family went through. It's definitely very painful because we have history there. These are our lands, and to be attacked in such brutal way, I can only say that God is definitely with us because our resources and our manpower is not equal to our enemy. But I could see God's hand on us, on our country. And I just want to pray for everyone in Armenia to turn back to God and to serve him faithfully, not only in Armenia, but also in Armenian community. I do want to pray for peace. It's a painful process to go through, so I don't think we should rejoice. It's good that our soldiers are fighting and that they are protecting our lands, but it's not good to rejoice if we bring damage to other people around us. So I'm going to pray for that and for people to turn to God. And let's not forget that we should put our trust in God only. There are so many stories in the Bible where God asked people to decrease numbers in the army, and he still was with those people, and those people won those wars. So we should never be afraid. I just want to encourage everyone. You hear the stories, you probably read the news, and that all happened, like, to my family. So we're here. Genocide did not wipe us out. This war did not. I just want to encourage everyone to trust God. He's always with us. And we will overcome with him and only him. And we're going to pray for that. And we're also going to lift up Uncle Aram and for church leaders and for government leaders. So let us just come in the presence of God and lift up those prayer requests and know that he's faithful and he's going to answer them. Father, we just want to thank you for this beautiful, beautiful Sunday that we can come and worship you. Thank you for this privilege that we know you. Thank you, Lord, that you are not distant, that you are our friend, that we can come to you with everything, our joys and sorrows, with our pain, and happy moments. Lord, we just want to thank you for everything, for all your blessings. At times we could complain and not like our lives and demand more and ask more, but Lord, just these moments make us realize that we're so blessed to have everything that you have given us, that it's enough. You give us things we don't even ask for, Lord. You look out for every need of ours. So we just want to thank you for being such a wonderful, wonderful Father. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your word. Thank you for death and resurrection. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you're always with us, no matter what. You never let go. Father, we just want to bring these requests to you. We pray for church leaders. We pray for government leaders. We pray for wisdom. We pray for knowledge. We pray for them to see that these wars are destructive to others. And we just want to ask that you please work in their hearts, Lord, to make right decisions. Not only that are politically beneficial, but that are going to be beneficial for civilians and for human life. Lord, we want to lift up to you anyone who was affected by COVID, but specifically Uncle Aram. He's having complications. Your hand is on him. You are our healer. We come to you and we seek your face and we ask that you please touch him with your healing powers. Restore him to his health. We thank you, Lord. We know that you're already working. We have that faith knowing that you work before we even ask. But we want to glorify your name. We want to hear great news. We want to see that our prayers are answered and bring praise to you and glorify you. In all of this, Lord, in all of these situations, in all these problems we're facing today, Lord, I pray that every single person will come to know your name as we read today. That you will be known around the world, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he was, he is, and he is to come. We pray that you turn people's hearts back to you, especially in the Armenian community, Lord. We pray, God, that those who are in Armenia, that they will seek you in this moment and that they will find you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you.
Let's sing one more hymn together, and then we'll sing the Lord's Prayer in Armenian.
Hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I do not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Darkness fills his loving face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds with an avail. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Oath is covenant, his blood, so pour me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and save. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Oh, Christ, the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. I miss sans merona paso turnes aso tuk mensus baptis met urbes jeb mec tunc merots barda panas jemita mezi portul tiu.
And now for the benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And with you also.
And with you also.
Please pass the peace.
Peace.
Mwah.
Thank you. Peace
Christ.
Be with you. Thank you, Bruce.
Peace be with you.
Karine, Shant, Bruce, Mesrob, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. This is what it means to be church, whether our pastor is here or not.
Beautiful service. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yes, thank you all. And peace.
Peace. What a way to charge your batteries for the week.
Exactly, exactly.
Blessings, everyone.
Blessings.
Have a peaceful week.
Thank you, Nora. Same to you.
Hi, Heather.
Hi, hey, Claudia. It's George. Hello. Hey, George. Hi, how are you?
Hey, George.
Hi, George.
Hey.
Oh, and also...
Hey, does anyone...
Go ahead.
Does anyone know Karine's, or who do we text prayer requests? I had one, but I didn't have a chance to put it. Do you know her text or what? They said you can text once, but I'm not sure I have her text. Maybe I'll write to...
The intention was to send it via the chat function on, but if you're connected via the phone, then you'll be just unmuting and speaking it. That's the...
I just wanted to pray for my mom, for her arm to heal, but for her wound, bed sore.
We'll pray for you, George. We'll pray for your mom.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Definitely.
Yeah, and how is, good.
We'll pass the word.
Thank you all.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
And love to the Kugazian family. We send you all our love. Okay. Bye-bye, everyone. Have a blessed week.
You too.
Bye. Love.
Jen.
Hi, everyone.